There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decision.
It looks like we're breaking up. Sit closer to me.
No, I think this is just fine. This is just fine. Hi guys, I'm your girl Mandy B, aka Paint the Sign, aka Full Court Pumps, aka Dead Beach.
What's up, y'all? I'm Wheezy. Welcome back to another episode of Horrible Decisions. We are here today with a very special guest. Hopefully y'all think she's very special. Maybe I shouldn't say it.
You know what
early.
I mean? She might not be, since y'all want to be arguing like, dang, when we going to get more solos? Shut the fuck up. Y'all got some at the top of the year. Before we start our episode, though, we want to let y'all know the tickets are on sale to see us in London. Baby, May 5th. That's right. Cinco de Mayo.
At the Earth Theater.
We will be at the Earth Theater in London. So make sure you get your tickets. Go to whorehive.com. Anywho, y'all, round of applause. We have Christina Brown in the building. You guys may know her from the Ticker Talkers or the Instagrams. You guys may also just know her for making y'all upset, because y'all be arguing.
You be reading the comments.
They be mad
at me.
I'm going to tell you. I remember one of the videos I saw. It was when Jess Hilarious made a video like really mad at trans girls, which I didn't agree with that at all. I was like, she was tripping. And I love Jess. But some responses, I was like, is this too radical, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember yours was one of the videos that I thought that on. And then you pulled up an article about how gender is a colonialist concept.
Yeah, like they traced it back to Africa. It was just a little JSTOR article, yeah, where it was like, there were trans people, gender nonconforming people before colonization. And I was like, that's one of my favorite things to tell Black people. I'm like, this
ain't even a
What's your favorite thing? Tell us about it.
I like to Black community a lot of things. But in regards to that, it was just like, for me, I was like, which I said at the end of the video, people are dying. What are we arguing about?
Right.
Like, people are dying. And I think when it comes to cis Black women being real, like, super transphobic, I'm like, we're not even included in what they consider womanhood anyways.
What do you mean by that?
Like, for in white supremacy, if you look at Castor Semenya, who's a woman, but she's getting her medals taken away because she has too much testosterone in her body. Her natural testosterone levels are too high for track and field. So they've stripped her medals away because she was winning. That happens so much where we're tested more.
Is she a trans woman?
No.
I'm like,
she said her natural. Her
I know what you said, but I was like, okay, wait. I just want to hear you say it again. Damn.
Yeah.
Think I know who you're talking about.
She's from South Africa.
Yeah.
That happened to another track and field, 4x something team, in the last, I forgot the last Olympics. See? But that should be happening.
They don't want us to be great. So in that particular video, you were saying, because I remember that moment in time when that video came out about Jess, and a lot of people were just kind of like, she's right, she's wrong. I felt like she was wrong. I also was in the side of feeling like Jess isn't transphobic. I know that that sounds ridiculous considering what she said. But here's why I say that. I don't think that people think necessarily, this is a fucked up word to use, but like,
I'm listening here.
For real. Logically, when we're talking about situations like this, like the logic behind all of this is that trans women make up such a small part of women today, that no, there's really nothing at risk for you, right? And it almost feels like when I'm watching something like that, it's like white people saying, oh my God, what about affirmative action? Mm-hmm. Like that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that when women start to say things like that, it actually comes from the red pill content from men.
Mm-hmm.
It's niggas. Hear me. You got a 19 keys, even though I really like his content, then he's got that shit like women should, you know, these women are trying to take it from you. It's that type of guy. And when those men are making content and they're huge influencers, it's affecting the women. And so now the women are looking at this shit like, oh, it is a problem. There should be no reason that women don't look at other women like there's a sisterhood. It's the weirdest thing because niggas don't get mad at trans men. They never feel threatened. But for some reason, girls do it to each other. I never see men online saying, fuck these trans niggas. They trying to take my bitch. Never, 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 never. It is only women doing it to other women. And it's super weird. And the only thing that I can think it comes from is men making them feel like they got something to fight about. I do not know why women get competitive with trans girls. But you said,
So transphobia is having or showing a dislike of or a strong prejudice against transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
While I, too, love Jess and what she does in comedy and everything else, I'm one of those, I do believe that people that I even like in one essence can be wrong in another. I do find her to be transphobic. I do find anyone who gets in front of their phone and questions how another person exists or why they do certain things to be hateful. To question like why they are who they are, the same way a white person would do a black person or vice versa. To me, she doesn't seem in support of or understanding of or in like of trans people. And so it's literally the definition. And so
I'm surprised you said that because like when we talked about it before, you were saying like,
No. I did not like what she said at all.
I hated what she said.
And if y'all want to go run the tape back, I don't think it was right. And I do find it to be transphobic. The things that it wasn't one video. She said multiple things about this community. So like
I've only seen her one.
Yeah, no, it's been multiple. It's been multiple. And after people have tried to correct her, she's doubled down. Yeah. So there doesn't seem to be room for education or growth even in the topic. And that's where I feel like, oh, you want to feel this way because you're not open to learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's what I want to go there. But we do have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful trans woman coming on in a future episode. Ooh. So maybe this could be a conversation we have with her. Nonetheless, why I invited Christina also on this pod is because we did a project a couple weeks ago, and it was really dope to hear not only her age, but the fact that she's lifestyle.
Does that mean you're old or young?
No, young. She's younger. And I mean, I know that where we're at, we are learning non-monogamy right now.
How old are you?
28.
Oh, girl.
That's 5 years younger than us. She's at the last part of millennial. She's damn near Gen Z.
Yo, no offense to either of you. I'm just sitting here like this. I thought you were going to be like,
23? No.
That's fair.
Maybe. You don't know? You don't think that that's young?
I feel like I'm in your, I feel like 95? 1995?
I mean, here's why I don't think it's that young.
Okay.
I think over 25 with sexual choices, it's kind of like, all right, you kind of learned a little bit about what you're into. You got some maturity there. Like, 30 okay. right there, bitch.
I mean, hello. Yeah. And 30 right there for my.
You said I learned about her age. I was like, oh.
No, just because, like, I feel I even in my relationship or my relationship to sex, mm-hmm. I think I started doing the non-monogamy or even identifying as mm-hmm. something other than monogamous recently.
To be fair, though, just that 5 years we have on you, there's so much of a gap in, like, because to me, 5 years, if I had another 5 years of millennial ideals and hearing about non-monogamy, like, we got a lot more information about it within that last.
Yes.
Time. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I even remember the episode we had with B. Simone where I was confused about the word transsexual and people were dragging me. And I was like,
well, no, and it wasn't even that word. We had to, there was a whole word that.
Transvestite.
Was it?
No, it was. It was. It was transvestite, transsexual. It was using the word that rhymes with granny. But I remember saying
that's
like.
That's the word. That's the word.
Well, I said, when you type this in, what do you see? What like, word, what's so the difference with this word that and that? With
granny.
And on some real
then
shit.
Now you can't say anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It was okay, crazy because the content came out in 2016.
17.
And I remember, and one of my trans homegirls, shout out to Hope Giselle, she wrote me, I was like, bitch, what the fuck? You know better. And I was like, bro, if I really said that, I really didn't know. Like, I know what's offensive, mm-hmm. right? But I genuinely, in that moment, was like, what does this mean? What does that mean? It was a real thought. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can't really police someone's timeliness in a way, like, of what they're mm-hmm. learning. If you're mm-hmm. disrespectful, yeah. But, like, for real, motherfuckers don't be knowing shit. I had to tell my nigga the other day, we can't be saying that.
There's been a lot of, in the last 5 to 6 years, I feel like, as far as, like, terms that have changed.
What other terms have you learned or have changed or have become offensive? And I think all of us over the last 5 years.
What's become offensive?
And you know what? Well, while you over there, we might say some shit that might need to be motherfucking bleeped. So we're just going to go through some.
I still don't know why you made me bleep
some of the sexual
the other day. Is a word that we shouldn't be using, like, to say to people, but I don't think it's as bad as the F word. I really didn't feel like that needed to be bleeped.
Because, see, that's the, so what you just said is literally the
it's not as bad?
No, it's the parallel. It's the parallel.
It is.
You don't want, you as long as you don't call somebody that, I don't think mm-hmm. it's bad to say. It's the same exact thing with the F word.
It is.
If you call somebody that, it's a problem, but they use it in their own, but you're not that.
And it's a reclamation. It's different reclaiming that.
Well, we've had that conversation about nigga that we reclaim it. We've had that conversation
nigga.
About whore.
And reclaim slut, it.
That we are reclaiming.
Bitch.
They're reclaiming it, but that's not for us to
so
use.
So you telling me when I had that foursome, I couldn't call her a butch bitch?
Butch bitch is not the D word. Butch bitch ain't.
So you know where confused me?
Where?
Because I used to go to the Cubbyhole a lot in the West Village.
Okay.
And I remember one of the girls telling me, like, why do you always come on night? Like, she used to say shit. It was like, I hear that with white women. Mainly.
Yeah.
And I used to always laugh about it. And, like, they would, like, say it amongst each other. And, of course, it could be reclaiming. But, like, they were using it so often and so much that, to me, I was like, oh, this is a LGBT communal thing. And I eat pussy, so I'm not on the outlier side of this.
Mm. Yeah. Ooh. I don't know what that means.
What do you mean? Well, yeah, what
first off, according to your bleep this profile, you're straight. So if you
I told you.
If you can't lean into your truth. You do not have any right to say the D
Christina,
word.
Christina, fine. You tell me what you think. So I'm bi, right?
Yeah.
But Mandy and I were going through each other's dating profiles the other day.
Okay.
And on mine, I have straight. And she was like, bitch, this is a lie. And
look,
I was
look at the face.
Why?
What? Because
oh, no.
I only have men selected on this app. And I think men just heavily over-sexualize with the fact that you put bisexual on there. They go too hard. And I don't really feel like sharing my sexual orientation with other people than who my gender is I'm swiping on until I meet them.
So I really love this. And I'm and just to add to adding to this, let's make this the icebreaker. I met you probably 30 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
We're having an outright conversation mm-hmm. kind of regarding sex because we had mm-hmm. someone who was not so promiscuous in the
yes.
room. And so it became the conversation of the casual sex, how much we have. But also she was like, well, I'm lifestyle, I'm poly, I'm... And you just started listing the ways you identify.
Yeah.
But you were in how, a sexual conversation.
Well, no. With people who were very uncomfortable having this conversation.
It was just me and you. It really was just me and you.
You guys podcasting
people,
or something?
No, we were just in a room with people.
Yeah.
There was a project going on, but this was like the overflow room.
Yeah.
They were not comfortable in the room hearing even.
Okay, but you guys were in that combo.
My question is, though, well, with other people who were not. My question is, in dating, in meeting people, how free, I know you know me, so maybe that's why, how free are you in announcing or letting people know that you are lifestyle?
Right now, off the gate, like right off the gate.
Okay.
I've tried it the other way because I understand what you're saying, the whole the sexualizing.
The dating thing, profile.
And it gets very, but I'm not on dating apps anyways.
Okay.
I just don't, I can't.
So in a dating profile, would you write that you're lifestyle and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like
sexual,
yeah, I probably would because it weeds them out. Like I just can't.
Okay.
It weeds
what out?
People who, like, I don't have to explain it. I want off the gate when you meet me to know what I'm about. Because even people within that, within non-monogamy, lifestyle, polyamory, that we're not even on the same page with some shit.
Right. See, and I've had that experience. The opposite.
Really?
I feel like I'm weeding out creeps by putting, bro, I'm telling you, I had bisexual on my profile for a long time. And when I had that, sometimes first date or even first messages, men are bringing up sex with me. And now they don't.
But now you know off the top. Like, you don't have to wait 3 dates in, 4 days just, in when they do find out. And
honestly,
then they,
my sexuality to me is, and I know this may seem ironic as we're sitting here with this thing behind my head, but it's kind of private for me. And so I want to,
like, what?
Because, bro, I've been in a throuple.
Bro, okay,
I've had a girlfriend. It's a lot of my, like, of my sexuality. And I just don't want to start talking about it because men are so horny.
Is there, like, an option that's, like,
private?
Rather not. Yeah.
Well, this was on this particular dating app. There's a lot.
I don't think there was, but I wouldn't have put it if I could.
But bisexual,
like on Raya, I was on Raya.
Open. I mean, there's there's apps.
I didn't have it on there
that allow you to say that.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
I guess this is where I'll kind of open up a little bit because I would love y'all's advice. Over the break, over the holiday break, I end up meeting a guy and we've known each other from online for a long time. So y'all know I was hitting up all the holiday parties, okay? So he hits me up. He's in town. He's looking to move here. So I was like, great. So I'm like, well, I have a holiday party I'm going to and I have a plus one if you want to join me. He's like, great. Mind you, where I don't ask about sexuality and stuff. Yes, the person throwing this event was gay, but I didn't think anything of it. So,
how gay was it, Mandy?
So I'm all dressed up. He comes not so dressed up. And I'm already like, nigga, I told you it was a holiday party. But okay, whatever. So I'm like, open bar. It's lit. He came a little bit late. I said, nigga, you know the open
bar.
Wait,
was this when you wore that brown dress?
Mm-hmm.
That was a really nice dress.
Thank you.
You didn't dress up?
Girl, he did not dress up.
Oh, no.
Which is why I have no pictures with him. And even he was in the back of some and I cut him out. So we go to this party. And as soon as I walk in, it's sequins, it's feathers, it's
ooh,
it is
lovely.
I look around, by the way, I may be one of 5 to 10 women in the entire party. Ooh. It's all black gay men.
Oh, it's one of those.
Yes.
I've been one of those. I'll be like, oh my God.
Not only that, as soon as the open bar ends, everyone's at their table, we're all talking. And I'm glad that he's like comfortable, but I'm already like, we ain't gonna be able to stay.
Isn't it funny how we get, I'm gonna tell you about a moment at Company XIV. Go ahead.
So I was already just like, okay, let me think of where else we can go after this because it's still early, but this is not giving holiday party. It's giving.
It's giving.
And wait, when I say it's giving, I pause. Because as the open bar ends, everyone sits down. They're like, okay, because mind you, best dress got an award. It turned into a ball. It literally turned into everyone lining up, and it turned into a runway. Then it turned into a battle.
That's kind of fun, though.
Oh, it's fun for us. For a very tall, very straight black man from the South.
That's hilarious.
Mind you, he's already saying how different New York is, and here I go bringing him to a ball.
I think you gave him the right intro.
Do you know who Kiki is?
Listen. So I'm like, oh my God. Mind you, there's people there that are like fashion designers getting his number because they want him to model. And I'm just like, I know they're just all like, is he with you?
Ooh.
Like, is this your friend or is this your babe? So I'm just like, oh my God. Okay. I'm in Brooklyn. I was already supposed to meet Reezy that night. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she's like, oh, well, let's do Bunsen's. I said, oh, bet. Black owned bar, Brooklyn. This is the place to bring them, sure. So we pull up. By the way, I had people try to hit you to come down that night, too. Did they hit you? See, I was drunk by the time I saw you then. Look.
Shout out to Dave, the mayor of Buttons.
Hold on.
Are you going to put me on the wall, Dave?
Wait a second. I want y'all to know, by the way, how lit I got by this time because our photographer was there, and I'm just like, I thought they asked you to. I was so lit. Let me tell you.
By the way,
not only do I bring him to this ball, I'm on shrooms that night. He's never tried them. I get him to try them for the first time. Anyways, so we go to Buttons Black Bar. My homegirl pulls up. It's great. Then I'm like, oh, I know other people around here. Both couples that I know are lifestyle couples, though.
Oh my God.
One owns the sex club. I had Luis and Simona come. And then I had
them
Amir and Basira come.
But so, you invited them.
I invited them.
Okay.
So now I'm like, oh, it's a group. You get to meet all my friends. I didn't realize it was going to make it even more uncomfortable for him because everyone is lifestyle and fluid. And I think.
How did you not realize that?
Because they're my friends and.
My friends are whores,
They're not whores. They're lifestyle.
I'm joking.
So anyways, we get into it. I start seeing this nigga gets so uncomfortable at one point. He goes and sit at a table with niggas just to be
strangers. That's hilarious.
Strangers.
Get me away from it.
Strangers. Mind you, let's not get into this woman was sitting at the end of the bar. I buy her a round of shots, not knowing she likes me. We end up making out at the bar. And then I ended up
Mandy.
It was too much. And then guess what? The bar was closing. So they're like, well, let's go to Susia. So we all go to the sex club. This is all the first night this man meets me. Mind you, the girl I met at the bar wants to come. And she's like, can we both suck his dick? I know we can.
Okay. Yo, where's the advice portion? What do you
so just so you know,
where's the guest?
What do you want?
Keep going. So he's so uncomfortable. We finally go to leave. But by this time, he's drunk and high. And the whole car ride home, he's like, you know I'm straight, right?
What happens at the gay club? At the sex club,
nothing happens. So he goes to sit down. We're making out. But the girl.
Me and him are making out. Okay, good.
It's just us. There's no. Literally, the club is closed. It's a fucking Wednesday or something. It's midweek. So it's just us, but we done brought everybody from Buttons to the club. So we drinking, we talking. Another nigga passed out on the couch over there. We lit. Next thing you know, this girl is like, so can we both suck his dick? So because I'm drunk, I'm like, hey, this girl wants to suck your dick. Do you want her to suck your dick? And we're literally just, what? Because at this point, I was just like,
Oh, you're drunk.
I was drunk, but also.
Do I even like him?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what did he say? What did he say?
No, he wasn't comfortable. He didn't want people to watch. He didn't know if he could perform in front of all these people. Totally. Mind you, I can't either. Mind you, let's not talk about how people from the ball joined us. At Buttons and in here. So it's a mix of everybody. And I was just like, damn. Then, mind you, I end up leaving him with the girl. They're in the corner.
I want to see what he looked like.
Oh, I'm going to show you.
Don't you need to see this, Christina?
I need visuals. I always need pictures.
Oh, right, my God.
Where are the visuals, baby?
Thank you. Because I always need visuals of stories. Because I got to envision.
Bro, shout out to y'all for every home mail now. You're sending photos of yourself. We will always keep them private. But I need them or I can't answer. Thank you. Hold on.
I'm going to show you actually the screenshots that I sent my friend. Because when I sent her, she was like, oh, girl, that's why they was asking if he was straight. And I was like, she was like, you be liking them little pretty niggas. And I was like,
I can't wait to see how light skinny he is.
Huh? Don't do that.
Is he Christina's shape? Or
by the way, nah, I done sent her all these pictures of all these niggas on the dating apps. Anyways, long story short,
we end up going home.
Okay. I take him home. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, okay, damn, you done been questioned about your sexuality all night. And I'm horny.
Let's fuck. Yeah.
You ready? We get all the way home. Dick is hard. I'm like, all right, let's go in the room. I have the condom, already pulled it out.
And then?
He puts it on. As soon as he goes inside me with this condom, then says, oh, I don't really use these. And I rolled over.
He came or popped?
No, he just got soft.
Oh, wow.
And was like, and literally told me I don't really use these.
Oh, that would have made me
And
soft.
One moment, before I get y'all's thoughts on this. This is where I had to think in my head, nigga, you just got brought to a ball. I made out with two bitches in front of you. I brought you to a sex club and was going to let another bitch. I ain't going to hold you at that point. I was just like, there ain't no way you should trust me. And just, I ain't going to hold you.
Nah,
I literally was like, dead ass. I was like, you trust this pussy?
Dead ass. No.
Raw, first night after all of this, I didn't trust his dick move. I don't even want to see his dick. I ain't even gonna hold you. I literally was like,
damn, that was fun.
No, bro. How do you trust this after you just saw all this? And I ain't even add the fact that I got another nigga's number at the bar, but that's a whole nother part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just willing to be like, you good? I'm good. I don't really use condoms.
Crazy.
After you just got brought into this type of night, I don't trust you.
Crazy.
But long story short, she knows I have a date tonight. And I'm like, girl, I'm about to bring him to me speed dating on stage. I don't know how to not introduce people to my lifestyle fairly early.
Me neither.
Bitch, you either. Because you done had a foursome, hoe. Ooh. And you not even 6 months in.
Yes, I am. Look at teeth, bitch.
Probably. She just at 6 months. That to me is introducing lifestyle early.
First of all.
Sorry.
Here's what I think.
Okay.
I'm not saying that was...
He did want to see me again after, by the way.
Of course he did.
Yeah, I would too. Of course he saw you naked.
Please.
Man.
Please. No,
I think a first date is probably a no. Also, actually, can I take the sex out of it?
Yep.
On my first date with this nigga, there were like friends that I kept running into that night. And he was like, damn, I just wanted to get to know you. Like he told me that later. And I actually think it's really not good to have a first date where you're just inviting a lot of energy.
Like, well, let's be very clear.
If you want to go to the neighborhood bar.
I didn't consider it a date. I invited him to a ball, which I was already going to. Okay, keep talking. Go ahead.
No, but like seriously though, I think that on a first date, it's not necessarily the best thing to do to invite people. Or even if, again, it's a neighborhood bar, like let's just say you're going to your favorite place. Sometimes even that's distracting. And that's a very New York thing.
It is.
Right?
It is.
It's like, oh my God, I know this great spot over here.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of men do that, but then everybody starts talking to them and it's like, it's just too much. So
okay.
I prefer to have just an experience where we're just talking and getting to know each other.
Christina, how soon do you introduce people? I know you let it be known.
How soon do you do what
but how soon do you do?
I don't think I have done that.
Oh.
Yet.
You know why? Because 28.
That type of night.
Yeah, it was a wild night.
How? I mean, but I wouldn't not see myself doing it. And that's what I'm saying. I would want to get to know some. See, because I wouldn't want someone to feel uncomfortable. I'd want to be able to, like.
Also, I'm going to be real with you. Like, I've done drugs with people on the first date, right? But they have the drug energy. Like, if someone has.
Crazy.
No, like, I remember one of my first dates, this thing was like, you know what? You look like a lot of fun, and I feel like we should go to elsewhere. And I was like, we should. He was like, and we should do Molly when we're there. And I was like,
yeah, no.
I got to find him, because you
that's
know what's
not
crazy?
That crazy to me.
Really?
I know his name, but I don't know his goddamn.
Random nigga?
I don't know his social handle.
Was he random? I knew him for 3 hours.
Niggas is crazy. What?
Yeah,
I ain't doing no drugs with no random nigga. Oh, yeah, I'd rather. No.
Well, no, let me stop. I told this nigga, do shrooms. I can't find it. I don't know his social media right off the top of my head right now.
Oh.
So I got to find it later. I'm going to show y'all before
Didn't you crop him from a pic, babe? So no. Anyways,
let's get into, I do want to skip vanilla shit because I want to get into our horrible decision and potentially our whole meal. So let's skip right into our hors d'oeuvre.
Okay.
Christina, give us a sex tip, please.
Oh, fuck.
Yes, bitch.
I completely forgot.
Well, you be sexing, so come on.
Oh, my God. What's your favorite thing that, what's people's favorite thing that you do?
Ooh.
Favorite thing that I do?
Yeah. In the bed.
I give really good head.
Give us a head tip.
To whom?
Both. Ooh.
Both.
Let's get a pussy eating tip. That's what niggas really need.
Oh, my God.
And the butch bitches, too.
Here we go.
I think taking your time. I don't like straight up licking really fast. I feel like a nice taking your time. People just try to, like, lick. And they lick too much in the whole vulva sometimes. And it's, like, pointed, like.
That should be hurting.
Not pointed. No, pointed as in, like, focused. Localized.
Oh, I was like, I don't like
labia. No, not the point, because that's like, that's too much. And sometimes when they suck labia, it goes in your teeth. Like, have you
had a labia get stuck between your teeth?
No. My labia gets stuck in someone else's teeth.
Wait.
You haven't had
Did that? He have a gap?
Like the inner, like the little inner labia.
Getting stuck in the
like
teeth?
Like the menorah. Not stuck, but like it like.
No disrespect. I need to see it.
Not like the inner what? Am I?
You might have a different setup like, down there.
I know what like kind when of flower pussy you got right
when
now.
When they try to like, when they try to suck it and it like, and you're like, okay, this just hurts. That has never happened to you. Never.
I want to join in on this with you and I can't. See, and I feel bad because I hate making someone feel left out. But bitch,
this happens often?
Not often. No. It's when someone is too rough.
But do they have gaps between their teeth? Like...
I thought it literally gets stuck like a turk, like roast beef. It's not getting stuck like pastrami. It's just like a.
It's
like when someone suck. Like imagine someone sucking on your neck or your lip too hard.
Maybe you feel the teeth. They don't get stuck in it.
I think it's the way it ain't flossed. Maybe don't get stuck. That does sound crazy.
Now you see what I'm saying. We thinking.
No, not flossed.
No,
like,
literally,
flossed
it's giving.
Crazy.
It's giving. You got like your coochie getting stuck in like your coochie moving that with his mouth.
Like I've had a ring stuck.
A what?
A ring stuck where?
A ring.
Not stuck, but I remember like she had two rings around the hood and like it just pulled on my, but I have big teeth.
That sounds painful.
That does sound painful.
I only ate one pussy that was pierced and it was a little cute little glow in the dark.
I went so slow too. It was like, it's so terrifying. It's so hot to feel it in your mouth, but it's so terrifying.
Oh yeah.
Why do you have a hoop? Just do a bar.
That's what I'm saying.
The hoop.
My coochie had a bar. With the little glow-in-the-dark ball.
That's very cute.
It was cute. Well, let's get into the horrible decision because this is where you're going to teach the audience some things.
Oh, my goodness.
But also, I guess you're so grown now that, you know, let's go back deeper into the 20s. So one of your favorite videos that I saw you do, you explained something called the formula to whoredom.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about being whores real quick, although Weezy is not.
It's really holiday party plus Mandy. That's the formula.
Don't do that. I really was trying to be nice that night.
Okay. And in your defense, you didn't know it was going to be
bad. I didn't think you were being not nice.
I mean, I ain't going to hold you. My homegirl called me out. She said, Mandy, you just didn't like the guy. Because if you really liked him, you wouldn't have invited all those people. And I was you might have a point. When you're on a date and you really like someone, it's just you and that person. Yes. You don't feel like you need a lot going on
and
around
I want attention.
And
that's a good point.
I was like, bitch, read me.
That was like me on acid. What? I told you when we were doing Patreon, I recently did acid for the first time with my nigga and some friends. And I was like, when we got home, I was like, oh, I must really like you because I wanted everyone to leave. I literally was like, I can't take this energy. It was one friend that I wanted around. I was like, everybody
got to
go.
When you really like somebody, they got to go.
I know my sex tip.
Oh, go.
It's a position.
Come on, let's
Ooh, my favorite position. Okay. This is if you're riding a dick. No, it's actually not. No, you can do this with anything. It's when you know, okay, you're on top. They're on the bottom. But you like crab, you know when you crab walk?
Yes.
You ever been on top and your legs are, your feet are on the bed or whatever, but you put your hands behind you like a crab walk and you ride like
a fucking bridge in a workout?
Bitch. Yeah, look. Who does that?
No.
I believe her, but as someone that works out literally every day, I still don't know if I want to do this.
It's not entirely a bridge because sometimes their legs or knees come up. It supports you and they can hold your hands. Like if you're, they hold your like ankles while they're like on the bed, your feet are on the bed. I would have to show you. I promise you.
I would like to see it.
I would like to see it. Do it right now. Do it right here. If y'all watching on the YouTube, let me see this little bullshit ass. Hold on. I'm going to explain what's happening, y'all, okay. Since this is an audio experience.
It's a long couch. Crab walk.
Okay.
Put your legs. Okay.
Okay. Ooh. Wait, so she getting on now. Okay. There we go. And then you lean back. Okay. And then you go up and down. Let me see how you do this. Okay. Do.
Wait. Look at your stroke game. Lift your torso.
Okay. Oh, like that.
This. Oh, bitch, that's a lie.
Yeah, no.
It's not a lie. I promise you. Shout out to you. Twins.
Shout out to you. Oh, it'll be different when you get to your 30s, ma'am.
It's not a lot. I promise.
I ain't gonna hold you.
I see what she's saying.
I hit that one time.
The reason is
I see what you're doing.
No. The reason it's not that bad is because anytime you get to lean your body on something, that's why I like riding in a chair.
Yes.
Because you get to hold on.
I could do that.
That's why when I twerk on a nigga, I like to grab the wall. I need to hold something.
I mean, I'm not going to lie.
It's like a walk.
And this is why I'm non-monogamous. Because for the things I just don't want to do, someone else could do it for you.
Hell no, bitch. Anyway. Bro, why do you think the first time I squirted on a dick was after I watched the bitch squirt? I was like, oh, really? This hoe just going to keep squirting all night?
Oh, the first time my ex got me to squirt is after he saw someone else make me squirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a competition.
I got a motherfucking ego, bro. I don't want nobody to do nothing better than me. Please don't tell me that. I'm a Pisces.
Wow.
Anyway, let's get to it. Because y'all,
okay, Formula 40, you're right. My bad. You're right.
All right. Damn. We done talked about trans and a whole bunch of shit that ain't on this motherfucking outline.
Wow.
Y'all know I'm pissed.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Anywho, let's get into it. Formula to whoredom. You have three phases of it. Can we get into it? For those listening, what is the first? What's the first thing in a formula? The first thing? Whatever.
First little
parentheses.
Phase.
What,
the first.
This is not PEMDAS, bro.
The first variable.
There we go.
I don't
what up?
No.
What's the first?
Honestly,
I'm really trying to think of a word.
I kind of like just. I improved it when
okay,
I said
let's
it.
Do
so
it.
I have to go back to
so
it.
The formula to whoredom starts at 20 to 23, which you call what?
The Bambi legs. Bambi
legs. Please explain this phase of whoredom.
I feel like that's the stage where your legs need to be shaking like Bambi with the okay. sex you're having. It needs to be good sex, fun sex, right? But you're also kind of like barely navigating adulthood. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing in 2023. I thought I did at the time. You look back, no, you had no idea. So it's like you're literally kind of just new to figuring shit out. You don't really know yourself fully. You know, I think, what you're interested in. You're horny. You're an adult for the first time. Yep. You're freedom. You're not
you
in
the home,
typically.
You might have your own apartment.
Exactly. You might be going to school. You have a job. You just meet a whole bunch of people and you're out there. And I think that's a good time to, like, explore and go.
So 20 to 23, you have as one of the best times to explore this.
Yes, and I think it's like the acceptable time to make, you're going to make mistakes, but it's different when you're 20, 21 making mistakes versus like when you're 29 or 28, and it's like.
Do you agree with what she
so
said?
So you can't make mistakes no more.
You can, but it's like.
I grow up.
I'll get into it.
I agree with her, but I also think there's a few factors to the formula.
Okay.
So I have a few friends that were either in school too long or in long-term relationships, and now they're fucking up in their 30s, and it's kind of embarrassing. But I think it's what we're exposed to. You got to be exposed to a little more. So for anyone listening, and Mandy and I actually got to meet a lot, what I thought was younger for our meet and greets during our shows, I do think you kind of got a hoe early. Mainly because your boyfriend that ends up being your husband or your girlfriend that ends up being your wife probably isn't the one you meet at 2021. I know it's part of your life.
Okay.
You might kill yourself. But just saying, that's what I was going to do. Oh, I love a good, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. That's my favorite.
Okay, Jonathan.
So maybe. Toxic. I was going to say.
So toxic.
That was my, Jesus. That was my 20.
But do not recommend.
Oh, yeah. That's
but,
not me.
And
that, but that was who I lived in at 21, 22, 23. Okay. But what I'm saying is like, everything feels like the end of the world. And what's really the end of the world is not learning yourself early enough.
Okay.
Because if you're exploring your sexuality and trying to figure out your body with that partner that might be the be all end all, that's even worse. You want to show up to that motherfucking soulmate knowing how to suck a dick. You want to learn on a dick that the dick is supposed to be right. No.
You're right.
You need to practice on all the bum niggas. Trust me, we've all had them.
A couple.
Practicing on all the bum niggas gives the
maybe
bum
not
niggas.
Every
because
they
bum
don't
deserve
nigga.
It. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the ones that deserve the good head, they're not going to come till later in life. Men are just not good until they're 30.
I'm glad I was practicing on
that. Not even then.
At least paying them for me out. Shit. I ain't shit. Okay, next phase.
Do you remember the dick you practice on? Because I do. Do you?
Just head? Or just in general?
Like, no. Just I remember the person that I was like literally practicing with.
Yeah, me too.
Even in my own brain. Like, not even with, like, just literally thinking like, is this good? Like,
yeah, I made him put a pillow over his head. I remember the first time.
Oh,
I don't want him to see me. Okay, next phase, next part of the formula is 24 to 27, which you call.
I forgot. What did I
rebirth.
Call it?
Rebirth.
Okay, rebirth. Yeah. I feel like your prefrontal cortex hits you.
Come on, sign.
At that fucking stage. And that is the.
I know better.
Not like you thought you knew yourself. You thought you were an adult. You're like 23, 24, 25 hits. And you're like, I don't know any. I don't know shit. That's why I act like that. That's that trauma. Oh, my God. And then it's like an unpacking of all of that. So to me, it's kind of like a slow down the whoredom. That's what happened to me. I slowed down.
You slowed down between 24 and 27.
Yeah. And okay. That was like the stage of like, let me think of maybe some celibacy or abstinence. Let me take
a break.
Breaks, like actual breaks. I'm not feeling really fulfilled. Let me learn myself. I'm understanding why I do the things that I do, why I made that mistake, why I'm out here telling people I'll kill myself if you leave me. Like things like and shit like that.
That's a great example of 24 to 27.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then 28 plus you put is intention.
Yes. Because it's whoring with intention.
Whoring with intention. 28 plus.
She added that right when she turned.
Now, what's whoring with intention?
I did add it. Yeah, I said, yeah, I'm ready.
That's like, I'm non-monogamous because I like coochie and dick.
Yeah, and people.
Because I like people to watch me. And I like to watch
yes,
people.
And love. My love feels more expansive. And it was, for me, my journey of like feeling polyamorous. This podcast had it. When you were talking about the 5 years, I felt like I was learning with y'all. I'm not going to hold you.
Yeah, we still learning.
Like.
Oh, you like mean while listening. Oh,
yeah, because I started listening years ago. Around my 23, 24 is when I started listening to you
if
guys.
If any of y'all are listening to this and y'all are 23, baby.
That's what we're talking about, that we just said that. Like, you should be exploring. Can I ask you, just because I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
So, lifestyle, is it sex clubs for you? Is it just maybe multi-partnered relationships? And give us a wild story, bitch. That's what I want.
It is.
We know you know what a prefrontal cortex is, bitch. What's the T?
It's. Multi-partner relationships for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy sex club. I love sex. I like sex parties. They're fun.
What role do you play in a sex party? Are you the girl that starts? Are you the one that's the unicorn? Are you the one that's bringing the people? Like, who are you at the sex party? Because we know Mandy is.
Wait, who am I?
The promoter.
No, I'm not. I am not the promoter.
Your favorite thing to say is, I bring everyone to the sex club
because
for the
first they want to experience it. I'm the tour guide.
Okay, better
word. But baby, once we get in there, explore. I'm off to doing my own shit. I just bring you there. That's it. Because a lot of people don't know how to find them.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Which I need to connect because I need.
Oh, we gonna go.
Anyways. But yes. I could be all of. I love bringing people. Ask any of my friends. I'm always like, so we should. I want to host. To be honest, I can't wait to the point where I host one.
Mm.
I'm like, I want to bring people. Everyone that I know. We all trust each other. That we could just like, why can't we all just be naked? It's fine. We're friends. I'm an exhibitionist and a voyeurist.
Okay.
So the first, yeah, I'm both. But
I am.
I learned that I was a voyeurist the first time, not the first time I had a threesome, but the first time I had a threesome with a guy and a girl, a man and a woman. So I had threesomes with like just women, but then I had a threesome with like man and woman. And I like started spotting in between, like in the middle. And I was like, oh, fuck. I just got to watch. Yeah. The worst.
The worst.
But then I was watching and I was like, actually, I can take a break. I can dilly-dally myself. This is kind of nice. It was like a live show.
Did that threesome with a man and woman end positively?
Oh, it did. Everyone had a great. Yeah, everyone was fine.
How did everyone know each other?
I knew him. I had been fucking around with him casually, and I was hanging with my homegirl one night. We were having a wine night.
You were hanging with your homegirl.
Why do you do that? I told you. Your friends is the ones
just
bring
joking,
Mandy.
She's like, I was having a wine night.
You invited that nigga.
Well, yeah, basically. He was texting me. He texted me. Oh, God. He was feeling me more than I was feeling him. I wonder if he's going to hear that. Anyways, he was feeling me more than I was feeling him. He texted me like, why is that pussy so good? I was like, here we go. So my friend takes the phone. She responds as me, starts sexting with him. And then he FaceTimes and he sees both of us. And I was like, yeah, she was texting the whole time. Then he's like, oh, what are y'all doing? We're like having a wine night. He's like, let me come over. We're like, you can come over if you bring food. When he hangs up.
What food he brought?
He didn't even bring the fucking food.
And you still gave him the coochie?
You know why? Listen, so easy.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Well, the dick must have been good.
Hate it.
Well, really?
She said, when are you feeling
the in the midst, you know, when he hung up, he's supposed to bring tacos. I'll never forget that shit. I was really like, nigga, come on, bro. Like, we could have some food after. Because we felt the vibes. So it was like, we could eat after. Anyways, I'm still a little salty that he didn't bring no tacos. But before he came, me and her were like, are you feeling this vibe? I was like, I'm kind of feeling this vibe. Let's see how it feels. I didn't feel no type of, this was years ago. I didn't feel no type of like jealousy about this at all. And I kind of wanted to slut him out with my friend.
Had you ever fucked your friend?
No, that was the first time me and her had fucked, and yeah, even we might have made out once, but like that's not the same thing. And I wanted to like suck a dick with someone. I wanted that experience.
That is, I love it.
He really was just there for us, to be quite honest. That's what felt the best. me and her were like,
that's fine.
We really want to do this.
I love that this happened a few years ago because, again, I would have been like, and this is why these niggas don't think they got to do anything.
This was
a
few years ago.
He got a whole threesome, got his dick sucked by two women, and didn't even bring no food.
Did y'all ever get another nigga together? Look.
Why you frame it like that?
That's
like,
a great trumpet. I mean,
I'm sorry.
Because this was years ago. This was during Bambi Legs.
This was Bambi Legs.
Girl,
Bambi
can legs. I be honest? Y'all know I love a broke dick from time to time. That shit, why? Sometimes you just want to, it's too much work. You should only be requiring shit from niggas that have it. That's the truth. If you know a nigga poor as shit, why am I about to fucking be really upset that you can't take me out to eat? For what?
I think...
don't talk. Keep talking. Get her ISO. Keep going with this. This is a clip, babe. We're going to put some out. Violin music
this
behind.
Is... I'm serious. Which one? This one? Fine. If you know a nigga has money and he's not spending it on you, that's awful. How could you have money, be posting these cars and doing all this shit? I don't want to see one more bottle on fire in your goddamn Instagram story. You better be taking me to eat. Now, if a nigga's broke as hell, they always telling you about how shit is rough. What the fuck do I need from you but your dick? That's it. I'm lying here?
A little bit.
He needs to go get a job.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And if, too, you get a job, you probably got a terrible one. If your dick is
not a terrible job, there is no terrible job out there.
I don't believe broke work niggas hard, don't deserve pussy.
Work hard.
Because you know what? Somebody else was broke. I want to be his Coretta.
But you... Oh, okay. And on that note...
And on that note... You know what? I wanted to play this clip before we got out of here. We won't get to home mail, but I think that this is going to lead to a very thoughtful conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a clip here. Here we go.
Emotionally damaged people are always sexually promiscuous.
All right, doctor.
Emotionally traumatized people require constant validation from others.
Mm.
You married to a woman who's been traumatized, abuse, abandonment, whatever. When you're not around her for too many days, she has to entertain another man because her trauma dictates constant validation. This, you ever date a woman who was crazy about you? She absolutely loved you, so you thought. It was really addiction. When you finally let her go, when you finally got her to stop stalking you, she ended up with another man like that. And your ego took a hit. You said, wait a minute. She was crazy about your presence in her life. And the minute you distanced yourself from her life, she found a replacement without a problem. Emotionally damaged people are promiscuous because they cannot go without constant validation.
What is he talking about?
I would love to know your thoughts because I know you've been talking
about. You said, what is he talking about?
First and foremost, I think one of my hot takes is I think hypersexuality and purity are two sides of the same coin. I think when people talk about hypersexual people, because that so being promiscuous is not hypersexual. You can't control it. Being sexual promiscuous, I'm not listening to them.
Same.
Hypersexual, well, you can't control it, cool. But a lot of people don't talk about that purity also, I think, comes from the same type of like trauma and the same type of like, emphasis on how what you do with your body and what your body looks like and how you get validation from people. People who are obsessed with being pure, it's the same shit. You're obsessed with your pussy. You're obsessed with your dick. You're obsessed with how people view your sexuality and you're obsessed with saving it for someone special and what that means and what that proves. It's very similar to people who like kind of, because I had a point where I was hypersexual and it was due to trauma, but I don't,
but you don't agree with him here.
No, I think that like how someone like sexually, I would consider myself promiscuous. That's because I want to be. I like pleasure. I think it's fun. I think sex is beautiful. I think it doesn't have to stem from.
How do you draw the difference between hypersexuality and promiscuity? Because we had a whole episode 6 about the word promiscuous in totality when we first started the pod.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to know how you differentiate between the two.
For me, it's if I feel like I can't like control it, like it's like a
okay,
like an incessant thought or incessant desire, and
that
incessant
is
need.
Which word?
Hypersexual.
Okay,
yeah, like it's something that is like a problem. You know what I'm saying? Promiscuous is just like I could go months without having sex. I could be having sex 3 times a week. Promiscuous is my desire and openness and being sensual. My love, a love of being naked. My love. It's cold out, and I'm always gonna have my titties or some cleavage out. Like that's who I am. So I feel like.
I do think hypersexuality and trauma can go hand in hand, though.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
but I don't necessarily think it, for example, like a lot of my friends that have experienced trauma, sexual trauma,
mm-hmm.
are kind of wildly into BDSM, but I realize it's because there's so much consent and control mm-hmm. that's brought back. So it's this safe way to experience dismantling your traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think when people say it in a bad way, I mean, and let's be honest, like before we all understood what the shit was, right? You're like, whoa, these people are crazy. But it makes sense. Like being bound, being tied, the yes, no, being able to have a safe word. Mm-hmm. There is so much control in that. Mm-hmm. I actually did some, I don't want to say the R word, but that kind of play. And like, mm-hmm, and we had a lot of fun, but like we made sure that no wasn't the safe word because that might be in the play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like, literally, I remember there was one point where like he was grabbing my wrist super hard and I was like, I got really scared, but I was excited that I was scared. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, damn, like having that safe word is so important because like, yes, the no was part of the whole thing. So I think knowing that I could say my one word, I don't want to say what my safe word is, but just say this one word and it's over. That's a lot of power.
I think sex is healing, which is why I don't guess. I think it can come from trauma. But if hypersexuality can come from trauma, why can't sexuality also heal it?
What if we take out the sex? What if we take out the fact that he's like, as soon as you hop out of, what about a serial dater? Like, if he's saying that you need the validation and the attention from someone else, what if even we take the whole vagina, dick and vagina, mm-hmm. or vagina, vagina, whatever. What if we take penetration and sex out of it? He's also saying, which promiscuous could lead to just relationships with multiple people,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of people. Sexual relationships, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're dating a lot of people or you jump from one relationship to the next, could that not be seen as someone who is maybe doing that from a trauma response as well because they need the validation of other people? Like, when I heard him say that, a part of me actually was like, of course, at first I don't want to really agree with much of what Dr. Umar has to say, right? Because according to him, I shouldn't exist because I'm biracial, right?
I love Dr. Umar.
I would love for him to sit
he
here with
hilarious.
It, but I go in with the bias mm-hmm. to not really want to listen. But I listened to this a few times and I was like, I found that even in my relationship, a part of feeling abandoned immediately by my ex when we would constantly break up was me going back to what was safe, whether it be 24/7, whether it yeah. be other partners that I just had in the tuck in my Rolodex. You know what I mean? But I was like, damn, is this a part of, and I couldn't sense trauma.
I don't know.
But was
I
there
think,
trauma with my dad leaving?
Much.
I mean, to be honest, I listened to this and it got me to think, was the need in that relationship where I kept being, you know, feeling like I was being abandoned and going uh-huh. under someone else. Did that relate at all to maybe my dad not being around for certain times or things like that? Like, I do think that we want to not believe that our trauma mm-hmm. exists in the way we now date or find partnerships or even have sex.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that I'm talking to people and the more I am looking into it, I'm questioning deeper things about myself too. And
mm-hmm.
so I listen to this and where y'all are like, yeah, no, I think it leans into this. I found this to be I did actually agree with majority of what he
She's right about the purity though, because
that's my
anyone point. That is like keeping their sexuality for something has been traumatized by something else. It's their okay. family saying, oh my God, no, you're too fast. It's religion. I mean, don't get me wrong. Brianda is probably one of my best friends, but we've never deeply talked about trauma together. But the fact that she was atheist and is literally given God her, you know, sexuality and is celibate now, there's no way you go from fucking and having fun and being a bartender to nothing. Something here in the middle, to me, had to be traumatic to make you feel that God is the answer. And it's not that I'm not saying I don't believe in God or anything, but I think when it's a complete 180, there has to be something in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know, and I could be wrong, right? Because her relationship to God is special and it doesn't necessarily mean that someone fucked her up. But I do wonder, though, the guilt and the shame that people feel around sex and that needing to be pure, what happened along the way?
I had a true love weight ceremony in high school.
A what? True love weight?
True love weight ceremony. Like,
it's like an abstinence ceremony?
What is a true love weight
ceremony?
It was
literally a church, like youth group, high school, and we all had a little ceremony and we got rings to talk about we'll wait till marriage. And now I'm polyamorous. Yeah.
What happened? So I never heard of that. What happened in the ceremony?
Oh my God. It's like
this is new. Someone listening.
I know. I'm trying to remember.
How old were you?
I was like 16.
Okay.
Okay.
15, 16. I was with my friends. We dressed up and we were at
what
the church.
What was the attire? What is dressing up?
Like dresses, oh, you okay. know?
Were they white?
No, they weren't. You could choose what Horse. We were wearing. Yeah, I know. And we were pledging our faith. Pledging our commitment to wait till marriage in front of God and in front of our family and our parents. And yeah. And then
your parents were there?
Our parents gave us rings for it.
So was you promising your parents not to
basically be a whore? Basically, look at me now.
How does this serve?
Oh my God.
And that's
adults.
And that's why I say it comes from purity. And so, like, I agree if you take the sex out of it, right? And I know a lot of the way that I move with sex comes from trauma. I still am working through that. But it's the emphasis.
On the sex part and not the fact that purity is the same, has the same concept.
Like, if we're going to talk about that, let's have the conversation about purity. What purity? What do you think that tells me at 16? Now I suck dick the next year, right? Or I have sex because I want to the following year. Now I feel like I've disappointed my dad, my mom, God.
Now, see,
like,
they can't be a formula.
Crazy.
You know what? My mom was the one who was handing me condoms and putting me on birth control and telling me to be open and, like, tell her what I need, tell her if something goes wrong. She never wanted me to end up in a scary situation. She wanted me to be open, right? You did a true love wait ceremony and we sitting next to each other, bitch. So ain't no.
Hello!
Dr. Umar's wrong.
That's what I'm
saying. There is no formula. You're born being a hoe.
Well, there is a formula to whoredom. We just learned it.
And that's where I feel like the intention aspect, or what I feel like 28 plus.
I think that should then be taught from the beginning.
What?
Like intent. If you're going to have sex, what is the intent? Are you dating? The idea of dating even with intent.
Mm.
Like, I don't think that that's really put on because let's be very clear. Not everyone could just become our husbands.
Hell no. Some of you are just meant
to fuck. We have to learn ourselves. There has to be intent as to why am I dating this person? It shouldn't be just to become a wife or just to be married.
Mm-hmm.
What is the intent? What do I want out of myself? Just all the things.
And this relationship. When people are like, oh, you just want this person. I have a friend who we like to go to a coffee shop. And sometimes I have a friend that we have great sex together. And that's fine. Why does that matter? Sometimes I have people that I'm more romantic with. That's where I got to the polyamory thing. And it's like, I have these different types of relationships. And when I allow myself to have them, I feel really fulfilled. Mm. I don't understand the problem.
Bitch, you love saying some shit at me.
You love to be like, yeah, you love to be
like,
oh, you're my God.
No, now, tell people where to find you.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, me, yeah.
Nah, the person behind you, girl.
It's like, I'm on Instagram at MISSXTINAB, Miss Xtina Brown.
You would put Xtina now that I learned about your church history.
Is Xtina?
Yes, girl. That's why Christina Aguilera took the Christ down. Mm-hmm.
You ain't need to shorten username that bad.
Miss Xtina, but I thought it was sounding cute. Find me on Instagram. And I have a link tree where you can find me at everywhere else.
I love that. Y'all, she's on TikTok. She's everywhere. As we said, make sure y'all go and get your tickets for our show in London. That's on May the 5th. But also, if you want more content, more episodes, we are revamping and fully giving y'all some dope-ass shit over on Patreon. So head on over to patreon.com/horriblecisions for more formulas to whoredom. Because we some whores, but not really because I ain't having sex. Because niggas can't stay hard and kind.
Have a great night day, everybody. Let's get out of here.
Bye, guys.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah.
Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.